All power and glory go to God. All greatness is from God. When a hero stumbles, well, the cowards rejoice. Nothing feels better to a coward than to watch a brave guy fall.
Magician got a story that's behind his tricks, and every GM got a story that's behind his picks. And when you listen, pay attention to the details. You can hear the ocean when you listen to the seashells. A newborn taught me wisdom that college couldn't, and college taught me how to talk more because I wouldn't. Words are sharper, they can reshape your disposition. Give out love and don't worry about your acquisitions. Too worried about the conference that you clinching, but your team is too much for you to carry in your own division. Palms is itching, about to run into some money next. Lord made me slow it down, cause I was surely missing steps. Euro stepping to my goals. Man, New Ginobili, can't nobody hold me. I need change like a gentrified neighborhood, but money ain't the only thing that can keep me straight for good. Bread alone is only good for the physical. Better make sure your soul's attached to your backbone. Verses for your vertebrae, chapters for your shoulder blades, books for my mental state, and letters on my dinner plate. You consume by what you consume, and the fumes from social media can mess up your cool. Clickbait on the internet can ruin your food. But depression ain't hashtag mood. I wanna see the moon when I stare up at the constellations to connect the dots. Vision very clear, make moves, connect the plots, and return all the earnings to my family. Prayers for my health and for my sanity.
Yo, 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 we back again, KRSM 98.9, every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. We got Sid Linus in the house. What's going on, Sid Linus?
Chilling, man. What's going on? How you doing?
Man, feeling amazing, feeling brilliant. I hope everybody got their morning coffee, you know what I mean, on their way to work, you know what I mean, your morning work commute. We got an amazing, amazing interview for y'all today. Tell them who we got, Sid.
We got Amber Athey on the show today. She's a radio host who got fired over a joke about Kamala's wardrobe. We're gonna talk to her a little bit later about, you know, just the whole cancel culture and you know, just the whole woke environment, just, you know, all that type of stuff, man. So
yeah, and we're gonna talk to her what she got fired about. You know what I mean? What she got fired about and what, you know. And what she believed led to it. You know what I mean? She's been on, she's pretty much been on everything. She's been on Tucker. She's the New York Post wrote something up about her. Yeah, she's been everywhere recently. You know what I mean? So we're just glad to have her on the show. Give her perspective. You know what I mean? Very cool person. The interview coming up later. So what you been doing this weekend, man?
I went to a birthday party this weekend, man, and one of my nephews, on my wife's side of the family. We played virtual reality, man. I played some boxing. It was a virtual reality place, and I played some boxing, man. You get a good workout, you know what I'm saying? Playing virtual reality boxing, it's crazy because the game is like, if you really try to like the box, like really, you know what I'm saying, like jab, stick and move and stuff like that, like the computer eat you up. You know what I'm saying? But once you start being like, all right, I'm just gonna go ham on this cat. You know what I'm saying? Then you just go ham on him. Then you'll end up winning and knocking him down.
So what console this was on?
It's not like an Oculus or nothing like that. I'm not sure exactly what console it is, but it's
so you was in the so you was in the metaverse.
I ain't gonna go that far. I ain't a metaverse. It's like the straight up virtual reality. But it's a place.
Nah, bro, if I'm not using Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse, man.
Nah, man. There's a place called I think it's called Voxel, and I think it's in St. Paul. Or whatever, and it's a virtual reality spot, and they got a bunch of different games you can play. You can bowl, you know what I'm saying? They got first player shooting games, all different type of stuff. But yeah, I play basketball and boxing.
That's what's up. Yes, we've been talking about this recently. How do you feel about KBJ?
Kentaji Brown Jackson.
Ketanji Brown Jackson, how do you feel about her being the first black woman on the Supreme Court? Like how does that make you feel?
You know, I knew.
I mean, you got to be happy.
Yo, it's so funny because the way I seen them come after Tim Scott for voting no on her. It's just like they just coming for him, bro. I almost think about something like, bro, you might be better off just putting him. Just
putting him. Yo, what was they saying? What was they saying about that?
They were just talking about how they were telling a story about how it was this other black Republican from back in the day who still voted for Thurgood Marshall to be confirmed for the Supreme Court, even though, you know what I'm saying, he had different ideology, I guess, than Thurgood Marshall, but he did it anyway because Thurgood Marshall was black. And so they brought up the fact that Tim Scott couldn't even, like, take one for the team or whatever as far as confirming Ketanji Brown Jackson. And my thing is this, man. And people can argue with me. If you got a problem with what I'm about to say, you can write in, holler at us on Instagram, do it on Facebook, Twitter. I'm going to let you know where to find us on all that anyway. But I'm just going to say this, man. When they talk about representation matters, why does representation only matter when it comes to race? Like, don't you need representation on the same, like, moral foundation you have? That's a representation, right? Too, you know what I'm right. saying? And what I'm saying is, I don't know how to like I fell for with Barack Obama. That was my Barack yeah. Obama was my last Representation Matters gig, you know what I'm saying? That right, was the last right, song yeah. where I'm like, I'm voting for him because he black and I want him to win. I don't want whoever else to win, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not doing that no more. And my thing is this: if you are black, and it don't matter what race you are, if I disagree with your ideology and I disagree with your moral foundation, then I'm just not gonna vote for you. Don't mean I hate you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I'm just not gonna vote for you. Period. You know what I'm saying? And with Ketanji Brown Jackson, to me, I'm just saying, plain and simple, if you choose not to answer questions like, when do you believe life begins? And what is a woman to you? If you choose not to answer those questions, to me, we both have totally different moral foundations. Does it mean I right. hate her? Does it mean, look, I've seen the facts and I've seen how everything lined up. She has more qualifications than anybody else on that Supreme Court bench before they got confirmed. She has more qualifications. So this is not a conversation about being qualified. This is not a conversation about anything like that. This is a pure conversation on whether or not I agree with her ideologies or whatever. And I don't. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if Congress, I don't know, does Congress vote on whether or not they agree with somebody, or do they vote on whether or not they believe somebody is qualified?
I mean, I think they do it on qualifications. I think they do it on morality, you know what I mean? What people believe in and all that stuff. You know what I mean? What's good for the United States? You know, if you have somebody in there on some crazy junk, you know what I mean? You can't vote for them. Anyway, you know what I mean? I be going back and forth with Ebro from the he ain't from the what show is he from?
Hot 97.
Ebro from Hot 97. You know what I mean? And every now and then, me and him be going back and forth. But he put something the other day like, why conservative? Give me a good reason. Like any conservatives, give me a good reason why not to vote for KBJ. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting here like, yo. I'm like, yo, because she don't even know what a woman is. She didn't even provide a definition for what a woman is. And you know, everybody, you know, everybody they came from my head off. They're like, yo, she's a woman. Of course she knows what a woman is. You're just one girl said, you can't trust a black person with the American flag in his profile pic. You know what I mean?
You got an American flag in your profile pic?
Yeah, not profile pic, but profile name. You know, he's like Prince Carlton. Then they got the American flag. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. You staunch.
Yo, man, America's the greatest country in the world, boy. You know what I mean? So, she said that, and then he retweeted that. He like retweeted her saying that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, and it's so crazy is that the weird thing about it is that people can say, yo, she's a woman. Of course she knows what a woman is. Okay, I think the exact same way. But see, what my mind leads me to believe is, so why ain't she saying it? What is this agenda that she's trying to push? You feel what I'm saying? Because she has to know. Everybody knows. Anybody, listen, something is wrong with you if you don't know what the definition of a woman is, or you can't provide. I get if somebody say, I don't know the Webster dictionary of what a woman is, but what I would think a woman is somebody who da 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 da.
I think the question was, what's your definition?
Right.
So that's right. The question. They didn't ask what's the Webster's definition. They didn't ask what's the biological's you know what I'm saying, whatever definition. They said, what is your definition of a woman? And she could not answer that.
Right, exactly. That's my thing. That's what I'm talking about. You have to think past. See, beyond that being black or any her being black and all that, you have to think to yourself, okay, why isn't she saying what a woman is? Like, what else is behind this? See, you got all these Democrats and all these liberals. They want to just they like symbolism. They're like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna vote Joe Biden in just to show them other white people that them other racist white folks that we getting Trump out of here just to show them other racist white folks. Now inflation is sky high. You got people coming over the borders. He's giving them cell phones when they coming over the borders.
Why are you getting me riled up today? Look.
Hold on, bro. You know what I mean? They call them people, she, them. You can't say mother or mother or whatever on the Congress floor, like in the bills and all that stuff. And like gas is sky high. But we think we got those racist white folks back, and then we dealing with all this other stuff.
Here's
now
my thing.
Now we got Eric Adams in New York City sitting here letting people who aren't citizens of the United States vote in New York City.
Here's my thing. This is what I want to say. Black folks want to talk reparations, but he's given what 1.6 over $1 billion to the Afghanistan refugees, $250,000 to, settling with the Mexicans for them being separated from their babies at the border. Then you got another $1 billion coming for the Ukraine refugees. But then if black people ask for reparations, oh, where's that money going to come from? We don't know. I have to like the bill. Oh, no, we got to do. See, here's the thing. No. Let me go. Let me go. Let me go. Let me go.
Native Americans
got to
be included.
Let me go. See, when there's too much paperwork, that means that people wasting your time. See, when Asians got their money, it wasn't a whole lot of paperwork. It was, This is the bill. This is how much money is attached to it. When Afghanistan refugees getting their money, this is how much money attached to it. When the Mexicans settling down at the border, this is how much money attached to it. Ukraine refugees, this is how much money is attached to it. When black people want reparations, oh, we got to go back to the census and we got to form a coalition and a group and then we got to form a board. Then they got to go vote on something. Then they go invite Herschel Walker and Larry Elder up to come speak against it. And it's like,
bro, don't talk about Herschel Walker, bro. Don't talk about Herschel Walker.
How come when it comes to black people, there isn't just a money attached to it? It's all this other bureaucracy that go with it. And here's my thing. It's fine if they want to play that game, but as us as black people, we have to recognize we voting for them at a 90% rate. So if we vote for them at a 90% rate, how come none of our needs are ever getting met by them? And no talk about no bill. Yo, no black person need to be talking about no Build Back Better. I'm sorry. Do not come to me with no Build Back Better. And do not come to me with no voter bill. Come on, man.
Go ahead.
You got last word, then we're going to break.
But anyway, along with KBJ, she's letting pedophiles off very easy. She got a history of letting pedophiles all be. She's sitting here making excuses like, okay, so if somebody was to click on a little kid picture or whatever, and all these other pictures pop up and all this stuff, then they get 30 years. I don't think, like, she's making excuses. She got something to say. She got something to debate when it comes to that. But she don't know what a daggone woman is.
That was weird to me. Very specific on some things and then some things.
Right.
Aloof.
And this is the last thing, I'm gonna say. And see, some of us knows us people who've been doing research know how the world been going. So we see that they're trying to blend genders. They're trying to tell you that men are women, women are men. They're trying to tell you that guys can go in a girl's locker room. They're trying to blend the toys together. They're trying to blend the clothing together. They're trying to say everything is the bathroom gender neutral and all that. They're trying to blend. We don't know if this person is a woman, whatever she says she is. This person is a man, whatever he's pronouns he want to go by. They're trying to blend that. And they're trying to blend. They're trying to make sexuality with minors be talking about it with minors be something acceptable. See, and then you come along and you have this judge come along and she says she doesn't know what a woman is. And she's also leaning on pedophiles. See, that's not black. This ain't no civil rights victory. Black people should be chanting. She was chosen by the elites to push this agenda. It's too risky nowadays to get white people to push your agenda. You get black people to push their agenda. Just like you got a black person to infiltrate the Black Panthers. You can't get a white person to do that. Same thing. KRSM 98.9.
How you doing, guys? This is Prince Carter from the Less Argue Show.
And this is Seth Linus. And I want to tell you guys about how you can subscribe to us. There's three different ways you can subscribe. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, which is free. If you want to get exclusive audio, which we drop about once or twice a month, you can subscribe to us on Anchor for $1.99 a month. And if you want to get the videos to those exclusive audios, you can subscribe to us on Fanbase for $3.99 at Less Argue Show on Fanbase. Thank you.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9, every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Yo, we back again, man. We were just talking about KBJ. And I'm going to just I'm gonna just go ahead. I saw some other stuff about KBJ. I saw like a picture with KBJ up there, and they had like Sojourner Truth up there, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and you know what I mean, all in the background. You know what I mean, all in the background, all that stuff. It's like, yo, get out of here, yo. She's not that.
Hold on.
Every time it's a first something, we always got to put somebody up there with some junk.
You talking about the one that had Betty White back there and
Hey, bro, the one that had Betty White back there, that joke was hilarious, man. And then I saw one, they had her up there, and they had a whole bunch of black people dancing. You know what I mean? Like playing music, like singing like a praise song or something, because she got nominated. She got confirmed. It's like, yo, what are we doing, yo? What are we doing? But anyway, let's go to some more. I feel like Whitlock, man. Let's go to the next subject. We talk about Black Lives Matter now. So,
yeah, this is a, yo, this is a heck of an episode.
So anyway, I see an article that says, what was the article? The article says, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter used donations to buy 6 million Southern California home. And here we go again. When we was talking about Black Lives Matter, like I said, this is the reason why we don't even, it's why we don't even talk to people, man. Everybody always got, see, people be talking to us about how they feel. We be talking about people, we be telling people what's real news, you know what I mean? What counts. And like we would talk about Black Lives Matter, how the organization is ran by actually funded by some actual white people, the elite liberals funded for their own agenda, You feel what I'm saying? And and they put these three women in charge, and you can tell the agenda is against black men. It don't have no space for black men. But see, we already knew that. If you do the research, you already knew that. If you do the research, then you will understand this is something is wrong with this group. You feel what I'm saying? And they was making money just off black dead men. But they didn't want to put black men in charge. They didn't want to put black men in higher positions. They didn't want to do none of that stuff. But anyway, New York Post, Black Lives Matter used donations money to buy a $6 million Southern California home. And again, I have always said black lives do matter. But the Black Lives Matter, the organization, is something different. That's not for black people at all. That's for some other stuff. You feel what I'm saying? And you could tell it's for something else because they got Netflix deals. They got Netflix movie deals. They got Black Lives Matter shirts for NBA players. They got Black Lives Matter written on the side of the NBA courts. Real grassroots stuff that's for black people don't get TV deals.
Absolutely.
Shirts don't be worn by black athletes. Don't be worn in the NBA. None of that stuff does. You feel what I'm saying? It doesn't make it that far.
What people don't understand is that you know, when the NBA was putting all these different names and slogans on the back of their shirts, they were only allowed. They couldn't come up with their own slogan. There was only certain slogans they could. That was approved by the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So.
Absolutely.
Anytime a grassroots organization reaches the corporations in that manner, you got to understand that it's not a grassroots. It's not grassroots at all. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like they would be like, if I was saying something about Black Lives Matter, the organization, ah, man, you a coon. Ah, man, you just support Trump and da da da. Like. People don't understand. People just go off what they like, what they think that people tell them they should like. You feel what I'm saying? That's what they do.
But that's what social media, and that's what you gotta understand, that's what social media is today. Do you think, let me tell you something. Do you think you go down your social media feed? Do you think most of the people on your social media feed has educated themselves on certain topics, or do you think they have picked a side of certain topics based on people they like or agree, or maybe agree with other certain things, or just align themselves with some of these certain topics? Or do you think that they look at which stance the media takes and what names the media call people who don't agree with certain takes? So then in order to not be called certain names, you end up agreeing with the take just to avoid being labeled as certain things. You know what I'm saying? And it's like which circles back to the Ketanji Brown Jackson thing. And this is what I said. I don't care if her definition of woman was something I disagreed with. But you gotta have one, because it's inhuman to not have one. It is inhuman not to have some idea of where you think life begins. Now, I could totally disagree with you.
Yo, she didn't answer that. She didn't answer that. That's like if somebody says, yo, give your definition of a child. And somebody says, I'm not a biologist. I don't know what I can't say what a child was. Like a child is. You like it's like something sinister is going on with you. Like what are you trying to do? You know what I mean?
That would be like just like every day. Just imagine if you ask somebody that in your everyday life. Just ask somebody that what is a child? And they say, oh, well, I don't know what a child is because I'm not a biologist. Just imagine if you would think something is off. You know what I'm saying? So all we're saying is that for those questions to be avoided, when we know that all adult human beings have some sort of idea on whether or not they believe someone is a woman, or whether or some sort of idea of when they believe life began. For her not to answer those questions, that means that she is not answering those questions because she's been coached, she's been told not to,
right.
She's a part of a certain agenda. She doesn't want to. And they always say that she don't want to offend. Well, by not answering, you also offending some people as well. But it's not genuine. You know what I'm saying? It's not genuine.
Bro,
I just want people to get back to being genuine. Just let me genuinely ask you a question, and you genuinely give me an answer whether I agree with it or not. That's just simple.
Bro, this is... This is common sense. This is like, see, this is my thing. Like, it's like people can't even, it's like, this is my thing. It's beyond left or right. It's like this. It's like people can't even answer common sense questions. What is a woman? Oh, D'Elia Thomas, should she be swimming with women? Should children be learning about sex in first grade when they're 3 years old? Should you be giving hormone blockers to children without their parents' knowledge in the first grade? See, that is wicked. See, that's wicked stuff. That's something else. You feel what I'm saying? That's something else. And you got one party that is supporting it, or they're quiet. Then you got another party who's speaking out against all of that junk, and it's like a clear people lost common sense. Like, to me, you got to go at those people relentlessly. That's to me. You know what I mean? You can't be going at people kids. You can't be going to people with children. You feel what I'm saying?
We gotta protect children, and as men in the community, we have to protect our children. We have to protect our women. I have a definition of women, so I know who I'm protecting. You know what I'm saying? I know what my duty is. So it's like what you might not agree with what I'm saying, but we are standing up for our community of things that we want and don't want. And I think it's what men should be able to do. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, some people going to love you, some people going to hate you, but you got to do your job.
Okay. They banned Will Smith for 10 years. They banned Will Smith 10 years from the Academy Awards or something? The Oscars. Academy Awards, the Oscars, same thing, right?
Yeah.
They banned Will Smith. What you think about that?
They banned Will Smith 10 years. Well, I mean, he probably going to be only up for nomination every 10 years anyway, so it really don't matter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the last time he was up for something? Was it Ali?
Yeah.
No. Pursuit of Happiness. Pursuit of Happiness, he was up for something. And then I think it was like Ali before that. You know what I'm saying? So Pursuit of Happiness was what, 15, 16 years ago probably? So, you know,
And then Jada is sitting here talking about, yo, she don't need protection. She don't need protection. She wish Will Smith ain't do it.
She's filmed the
other day, a video comes out, she's filming him, and he's telling her he don't want to be filmed, and his thing come out and it's released anyway. Like what is it? See,
I saw something today that said Jada never wanted to marry Will, and she cried at the horrible wedding or something like that.
Bro, that's old news. That's what I said the other day. Yeah, that was on the Red Table Talk, like back in the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, she talked about that. Yeah, how her mother made her go through with it and all type of stuff. She was miserable, she was sad and stuff. Yeah. Yep.
Dang, I didn't know that. And then I seen something like that. Willow wrote a letter to Tupac.
Yo, this family, look, I told somebody a few days ago. I said, either this family is dysfunctional and they whole family need help, or they are holding out on a nine-figure deal from a television show to get a show on a family, the Smiths. We only got each other. That's the only thing that I could be thinking that they got going on. That's the only thing that will make sense to me, a reason why they doing all this stuff.
You know what I think? I think they're the only family that know where Tupac is at. Yeah. I think they the ones hiding Tupac.
I saw something the other day. It said, let me see if I can find this. They said, what if Tupac faked his death to get away from Jada?
Yo, they have an infatuation with Tupac over there. I don't know what's going on, but they got an infatuation with Tupac. Bro, they got to let Tupac.
Why she write a letter to Tupac?
I haven't been able to figure it out. Tupac. Girl, Tupac was dead before you was born. That's like
Tupac died in 96. She wasn't even thought about being born in 96.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like me writing a letter to, I don't know, man. It's like me writing a letter to, I don't know who, man. I'm trying to think of
Abraham Lincoln. Like,
you know what I'm saying?
Like somebody, like, I think a deal is gonna come on the table, and I think that a deal has to come on the table where E or VH1, Netflix or Hulu offer them a nine-figure deal on they family life, and it's only gonna last for one season because they whole family gonna break up after one season of it. But it has to be this or they're crazy, or they're really out their mind. Jada Pinkett, look, Jada, just imagine all this stuff going on, and Jada Pinkett is still filming Will Smith, and he's getting mad at her for filming him, but, and she still puts it out.
But was that video new, or do anybody know the origins of that video?
Man, they said the video was new. It's new. This is after the smack.
Because Chris Rock came out with a statement said he ain't talking about it until he get paid.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him.
He should get paid for that. I don't blame him at all. You know what I mean? And I do think somebody is going to pay him.
No. He going to sue Will Smith and the Oscars.
No. See, he's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. What he means by that is Barbara Walters is going to sit him. They're going to pay him to sit down and talk about that night. You know how you get paid. He's talking about that. He's not, because he would have pressed charges if anything.
No. He don't want him to go to jail. He don't want him to get in trouble with law enforcement. He just want some compensation. He want a civil. He want to know if they can settle out of court or some sort of civil whatever. Because first of all, that's public humiliation. You know what I'm saying? That's so many punitive damages. That's so many punitive.
He's not gonna do that. He's not gonna do that. Listen.
How much you want to bet? Listen. How much you want to bet right now, live on air? How much you want to bet? $100 $100 that either they settle out of court, or they go to some sort of civil court and he gets paid some money based on him.
Hold on. How are you going to determine if they settle out of court or not? Because
we hear it. They'll say they set out Chris Rock and settled out of court with the Oscars Will Smith and the Oscars for reportedly $40 million or something like that.
Okay. I guarantee you that's not gonna happen. But I guarantee that's not gonna happen. But we can listen. Okay. That's what you bet. That's what you want to bet. Because it's other routes I feel like he would have took if that was the route that he was gonna take. What I'm thinking that he's doing, the reason why he's not talking about it, because he wants somebody to get an exclusive interview. Oprah Winfrey gets an exclusive interview with Chris Rock to sit down and get his feelings on it, instead of him going out on tour every single day and ruining it about how he feels. He's already letting it out. He's being quiet. Today offer him, yo, $5 million, $4 million to sit down and talk about this. That's what he's doing. I guarantee you it's not what you're talking about. Because because like Puffy said,
I'm about to get like you. Everybody, I'm about to get you.
Like Puffy said and everybody said, they already made up.
Puffy came back and said they took his words out of context. They did not reconcile. Puffy came back and said, nah, they took my word out of context. I never said they reconciled.
There's other people who said they good too. But anyway,
His brother said it. Tony Rock said nah, they ain't reconciled at all. So let me tell you this. Usually, I'm gonna say this. Then we go to break. I'm gonna drop the mic on this. Usually, when somebody sits down, hold on, no, we going over time. Usually, when somebody sits in front of Oprah and they get paid a bunch of money for their interview, they usually have a lawsuit pending with somebody. KRSM 98.9. Your love is a sunrise. Let it light up the skyline. I want you to know. Your love is a sunrise. Let it light up the skyline. Pyros and fireworks, I just spit my praise and watch power work. I mean, you can't equal the feeling when your head's to the sky, no ceiling. Don't gotta conceal my weapon, it ain't made of steel. My mind is a weapon, blast at your perception.
can't hear the truth, no reception. Trouble trying to catch that truth, no reception. Ain't much time allotted for second guessing. Got his dream laid on the stretcher, God bless him. It's a full court when they press him. Extract the wrong answers, try and test him. You get penalized for your speeches. No pool pictures, preachers in these speakers. Got my fam with me, just accept it. Beautiful like the sunrise, so perfected.
I want you to know your love is a sunrise.
Sunrise.
Let it light up the skyline.
Skyline. Sunshine, I see flowers grow. I ain't got no time to let an hour go. As the world turns, you get 24. I feel like I need about 20 more. But I'm so blessed and prepared now. Power over evil, I can stare down. Thought I got boxed out like a rebound. But we doing shows in places you can't pronounce. Obstacles I made just to run through. You gotta strategize where to run to. Tell me what has the world come to. When you can't even dodge a simple 1-2. Trying to embrace the present more. 1,000 miles away, embrace the tour. Let the Lord put the rest in their place. And still keep a smile on my face. So blessed, powerful.
I want you to know your love is a sunrise.
Sunrise.
Let it light up the skyline.
Skyline.
All right, this is KRSM 98.9. One thing we like to do with all of our guests, we like to have them to tell our audience who they are in their own words. So can you tell our audience who you are?
Sure. My name is Amber Athey. I'm currently the Washington editor for The Spectator, as well as a senior fellow with the Steamboat Institute. Until recently, I was the co-host of a morning drive time radio program called O'Connor and Company. But I'm sure we'll get into the reasons why I'm no longer with them.
Yes.
So you have been thrust into the limelight based on a joke of Kamala Harris. Can you run down the series of events that led to your firing?
Absolutely. So I was watching the State of the Union address. I was at trivia with a bunch of friends, and I was like, Kamala was kind of not very good, guys. Like, what's up with that suit? You know, she was wearing that brown thing. I don't think anybody really liked it. I even had a couple of more left-wing fashion magazines were calling her out for the choice.
Right.
So I decided I'd throw a tweet out there, just kind of a throwaway comment, as one does. And I said, Kamala looks like a UPS employee. What can brown do for you? Nothing good, apparently. Obviously, in reference to the outfit, the old UPS slogan was, what can brown do for you? And it was about the uniform. Well, no one had a problem with the tweet at first. And then a couple of days later, I was getting into it with some left-wing activists on Twitter about the phenomenon of transgender children. And I'm very opposed to the idea that underage kids who really can't consent to most things are being told that they can undergo surgical interventions or take puberty blockers and hormone treatments to change into a gender other than the one that they were obviously born as and have the biology to be that gender. Well, the left really didn't like that. They decided that I needed to be silenced. They had to shut me up. So they went back into my Twitter history and were kind of digging for something that they could to cancel me, because that's what they do.
Yep.
They found this Kamala tweet and decided that it was racist. And they said that the what can brown do for you comment was obviously about her skin color and that I was sending out dog whistles and all these other things. And then they decided to go one step further than just trying to embarrass me on social media, and they started contacting my employers. So the Spectator got a couple of emails, and then the parent company of the radio station I was working at, Cumulus Media, which owns WMAL DC, apparently got a few emails as well. But the situation I thought had kind of blown over by the time the weekend had finished. In terms of like people coming after me, this was probably one of the more mild incidents.
Right.
But the following Wednesday, which was March 9th, I had hosted the morning show like I normally do. And I got a call in the afternoon from a couple of executives from Cumulus. And they told me that they had been made aware of the Kamala tweet, that they determined that it was racist and violated their social media policy, and that I was going to be terminated effective immediately with no severance, nothing, just a copy of my last pay stub, and don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Wow. 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 That is okay. So, I looked at the tweet over and over again. Okay. So, cause I understand how everybody in this world right now, everybody is PC crazy. Everybody is oversensitive and stuff. When you tweeted that, and when I looked at it, I thought you covered all bases. It's like, okay, her look is going towards the UPS employee look. Like, it's like you covered all bases. Like, did you, when you tweeted that, did you think that anybody could kind of slightly take it in any other type of direction?
I honestly did not. And maybe that was my naivety, because I underestimated just how willing people are to intentionally misinterpret things right. in order to try to get you in trouble. But yeah. I mean, what's crazy is like I had workshopped this tweet a little bit with people who I was sitting at the table with, and everybody just kind of laughed and was like, yeah, that's great. You know, nobody saw a problem with it. So right. there was at least a half a dozen people that apparently would all also be fired if they had
right.
We all thought it was fine. So I don't know, maybe that's like our implicit bias showing or something, or right. you know, our right. subconscious racism. Right. But no, I honestly didn't think it was a problem. And then that's why I honestly found it a little bit funny when people this week who were celebrating the fact that I got fired were like, oh, she knew what she was doing, and you know, she right. effed around and found out. And I'm like, I didn't know what I was right. doing. What are you talking about?
right, exactly.
I mean, there's so many people just reading my intention into the tweet as if they know me and they know what was in my head when I was tweeting it. That's something that really bothers me. I mean, all the right. racism accusations honestly don't really bother me, because that's just what the left does. They use that as a tool to try to get people in trouble so that they can stop talking about other issues, like in this case, the trans kid issue. But when people try to read into my mind and like get inside my character, that's something that does kind of bother me, because I don't know these people. Like, they know me through the internet, and that's not right. even a real place. So that's annoying to me, honestly.
Right. Right. I know it's like whatever they choose to be racist at the time. It's like, oh, if you don't support Build Back Better, then you're racist. It's like what is going like what is going on?
the one thing,
yeah, I mean, they'll find anything.
did anybody including like the station you worked for, did any of those people ask you like what were your intentions behind the tweet or whatever? Because it seems like that's just that tweet, even if it is a conversation, it's a 2-minute conversation, and then you just forget about it. So did anybody right. even ask you about the tweet?
It's a great point, because there have been other instances of Cumulus hosts on different stations getting in trouble for tweets that were far worse than mine, and they got maybe like a couple of days suspension. What happened to me was, they did not ask me about it, actually. We did not have a conversation. The phone call that I received on March 9th was the first that I heard that this was even a problem, and was fired without the opportunity to even explain the context of the tweet. And I later learned that apparently some of the executives didn't even know that that was the UPS slogan. And some people, I guess, admitted that it didn't really matter whether or not they actually thought it was racist. What mattered was the perception of racism. So as long as somebody else says that you're a racist, then that's all that really matters to them, because they're trying to protect, I guess, their reputation. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to point out that the people who were reaching out to them don't listen to WML, probably had never heard of it before they decided that I was an evil, bad person and needed to go, and are not going to start listening all of a sudden because Cumulus fired me, if anything, they're going to see that this worked and try to get other hosts off the air too, because they've now incentivized that type of behavior. So they took the word of a bunch of internet left-wing activist strangers over one of their own employees and over anybody else in the WMAL office, because you guys have probably seen this. All the other hosts have come out and defended me on the air. So I think it's very disrespectful and backwards as a company to throw your own employees under the bus over people who really hate what you're even doing in terms of content.
Right. I know. And we see we're kind of in a, I wouldn't say a similar boat, but we're pretty much on our radio station, we're the only conservative radio show. And a lot of times we, like our program director, she says we go all the way to the line.
But that's what you do as a radio host. I mean, I wasn't in the business very long. I was only working there for 6 months, but I've been a guest host in WMAL for about 3 years now. And part of what you do as a talk show host is you do go to the line because you want to be sparking conversations. You want to make people think, and you want to entertain, most importantly. Yep. And so it's almost a rite of passage that when you're a talk show host, you're going to get in trouble for something. But you have to know that the people who are paying you are going to protect you when those things happen. Otherwise, you're not willing to do that, and your listeners are missing out as a result.
Right. Absolutely. So, okay. So just to be clear, you're still working at the Spectator, right? You're still at the Spectator.
I am. And I do want to give them a special shout out because they got these emails and I will say they sent them to me and they were like, well, this seems pretty stupid. I said, yeah, it does. And they actually did a little research and found out that one of the people who emailed us claimed to be a subscriber to the magazine. And wasn't. They checked his email address, name, everything, and he wasn't anywhere on the subscriber rolls. So they actually had me tweet out this screenshot and make fun of this guy for lying about being a subscriber. And then they just deleted everything because they thought it was so silly. So, I mean, that's how an employer should react when something like this happens.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you fear that the Spectator will fire you also?
No, not at all. No.
Oh, okay.
Well, so what's interesting about The Spectator and why I have so much confidence in them is one of the first pieces I ever wrote for them before they even hired me full time was about cancel culture and about just throughout my career, how people have often tried to use things from my past against me. And, you know, they dig up your every little piece of your personal life to try to get you in trouble. And the fact that they were willing to do actually an entire magazine called Canceled, it was the February 2020 edition, if I remember correctly, featuring all of these people who have been through similar things, told me that this was a place that was going to stand up and have a backbone and not cave in the slightest sense of trouble.
You know, shout out to them.
Yeah, shout out to them. Because I have a thought, just like, so when we were kids or whatever, not kids, teenagers or whatever, you know, there was a thing where, like, if you don't like something on TV, you just change the channel. You know what I'm saying? I remember, like, Jerry Springer was big back in the day. And, you know, a lot of the older people were like, what's that mess on TV? And it's like, yo, if you don't want to watch Springer, just change the channel, you know? But I feel like nowadays with, like, social media, it almost seems like because we can craft our own, like, social media and create whoever we want to be on our social platforms, we feel like that when it comes to media, we should be able to tell every single media company exactly what they should be saying and who they should have on air. You know what I'm saying? And it just seems, you know what I'm saying, really crazy to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it is really bizarre and manipulative for people to determine the content of things that they're not even watching or listening to. And I have to think, you know, through all of this, yeah, it sucks I got fired, but I also think it's kind of funny because, one, it's so ridiculous and you have to laugh, otherwise you'll just be miserable. But these people are clearly so unhappy. I mean, if you're going through the internet trying to ruin someone else's life because you don't like their politics, I just have to think you're a really sad, miserable person. And, like, I feel bad for you. And at the end of the day, I'm going to be better off. I still have a full-time job. I'm fine. And they're still going to be miserable. So that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all content isn't for everybody. People think that content is like McDonald's, like everybody just want to just go to. No, like all content is not for everybody. Like you're going to have some conservative content. You're going to have some left content. You know what I'm saying? And there's different genres and different sub-classifications on everything. You know what I'm saying? So everything is not for everybody. And if it's not for you, then just mind your business.
except for I'm still boycotting Disney though. So, my sons want to fight me. They want to fight me. They're like, oh, my gosh. They're like, so no more Star Wars? Like, you don't like anything. I'm like, nah, no, like no more. Okay, so do you believe that when you spoke out critically of the when you spoke out critically of the protests in favor of the trans kids at the University of North Texas, was that the real reason why you got all of this backlash? Do you believe that?
I think that was it, because again, nobody was getting angry with me about that UPS tweet until I was engaged in this other debate. And I had been following that story for a while, actually, because the student who had brought Jeff Younger to campus, and Jeff Younger, just for your listeners who don't know, is this dad who had his ex-wife thought that the son was actually a girl and wanted to transition the son. And Jeff Younger was opposed to this and ended up losing custody of the son because he wouldn't comply with this idea of changing his gender. So he was going to speak at the University of North Texas. A conservative student who runs the Young Conservatives of Texas, Kelly Neidert, invited him and was printing up flyers. And I wrote about how she was harassed on campus for printing out the flyers for the event, let alone actually having the event. And that initial article, I think, sparked this freelance reporter, and his name is Stephen Monticelli. And so he was kind of already paying attention to what I was doing because of that. And he's a big advocate of the transgender children idea. He writes for places like Rolling Stone, Daily Beast, Yahoo News. And a week later, when they actually had the Jeff Younger event and there were crazy protests, Jeff Younger had to be taken out in a police car. This student I mentioned, Kelly, had to hide in like a broom closet because these people were threatening to fight her. Stephen Monticelli pops up again in the replies to Matt Walsh, who is against the idea of transgender children as well.
Right.
And I had had obviously an experience with this guy before, so I chimed into the conversation, and he was the one who got most of the traction on the screenshot of the Kamala tweet, because he put it on his timeline out to his however many followers. I think he's got, I don't know, 30,000-40,000. I don't remember exactly.
Right.
But that was when people started saying, oh my gosh, this girl is terrible. We've got to ruin her. She's such a racist. So that was absolutely the impetus for all of this. And I think that kind of shows just how dishonest it is, right? Because it wasn't, it was a totally separate political issue that led to people finding that first thing racist. And I've had people say to me, well, because you're so transphobic, wouldn't it stand to reason that your intention with the Kamala UPS tweet was racist because we already know you're a bad person from this other thing? So there's all these weird leaps in logic that are going on from people, and just really like putting things together that I don't think are in the same group, but they have this very bizarre reasoning that they use to try to get people into the evil camp.
it's so crazy, because like when I was growing up, it was like, okay, you had like black issues, then you had like gay issues. Like with the issue of like Black Lives Matter, it's like every single we're in Minneapolis, so I mean you can assume it's liberal. This is liberal city right here. So it's like you have the fist, you have the black fist, and all over the black fist is the gay pride painting. All the, it's like who combined these together? It's like who did this, you know? And it's so crazy, because that's how everybody, if you say something that is homophobic, they also say, oh, so you must not like black people either. You know, it's ridiculous.
That's a really good point. And I like to illuminate that for people, because especially people on the left, because I think there's a lot of people on the left who don't really understand that if you're not in on every single issue that is now lumped into this one basket, you're not good enough for them, and they will absolutely turn on you. They will eat their own unless you are 100% on the ball with every single wedge issue that they've chosen. Like, it's not good enough to just say BLM. Like you said, you also have to say, I support, you know, trans kids getting surgery to, like, remove their breasts. It's never enough for them. And and that's why the firing is so stupid, in my opinion, because Cumulus thinks that they've satisfied these people. But what they've really done is they've made them even more rabid, because they've showed that this type of smear campaign works and is effective. And so they're going to keep doing it. And it's the same thing with conservatives who try to temper their views because they think that they're going to be considered like the respectable conservatives, right? You know, it's like the Dispatch people, the Bulwark, the David Frenches of the world. And I always say, these people hate you. I mean, if you're pro-life, you're done. It doesn't matter what you believe on anything else, because they've already decided that you're a bad person. So why are you going to try to appease people who are always going to hate you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so in schools, there's a lot of teaching on sex, and I think even you were protesting, you know, giving medication to kids. How can we combat this as far as what's going on? Because it's creeping up all over the country, you know what I'm saying? Not just in liberal states or liberal cities, it's creeping up everywhere. So how can we combat it to be like, yo, we don't want our kids being taught about, you know what I'm saying, all these different sexual preferences in school, or even being transgender, or getting what do they call them, blockers? Your hormone blockers in school. How can we combat this?
It's a hard thing, because right now the left really has made it so that you face social or professional consequences if you speak out on this issue. But this is our kids we're talking about. I mean, if you're not willing to go to bat and face consequences for your kids, then nobody else is going to do it for you. I mean, to me, that's like the one thing that is so worth dying for, protecting, that to me, like losing a job because I don't want kids to become infertile because they have been brainwashed into thinking they're another gender.
Absolutely.
Like, too bad, so sad, but it's that important to me. And I think the Florida bill obviously is a great start. The parental rights and education bill that bans the teaching of these concepts for children between kindergarten and grade three. And I love that the right has gone on offense on this issue, because I think it's so rare. We're always on defense. In this case, they're like, why? What kind of sick person wants to teach inappropriate sexual and gender concepts to a kindergartner? Like, what's wrong with you? You're the problem, actually. Why are you trying to groom my kid? Or why are you trying to be inappropriate with them? That's what we should be doing on all these cultural issues. I hate that we're always trying to defend ourselves when we're the ones doing the right thing and trying to protect kids. Like, call these people out for what they are.
So, okay, since we're on the subject, last week we had a guest, Heidi Briones, on our radio show. She's a feminist, a lesbian, and she ran as a Democrat for Congress in Oregon. And because it started, I tweeted out, and I said, it's so crazy how I haven't heard any feminists stand up for women's rights, as far as like having Leah Thomas and swimming. It's like I haven't heard none of them stand up. At first, it was women's rights about everything. Now everybody's silent. So Heidi went and she was like, we are talking, you just don't hear us, or something like that. So I invited her on the show. So she was on the show last week, and she's very, very much against biological men competing in women's sports. So what's your take on this issue in America, just biological men just swimming, fighting, doing all type of stuff in women's sports?
Well, I was a three-sport athlete in high school, and I played, I mentioned before we started the show that I played club field hockey in college. And so sports is a hugely important issue to me. I mean, that was a really formative part of my life, and I learned so many great lessons from team sports, and having that space with other women and working with other women in that way is so invaluable to young girls. And what's interesting about the club field hockey team is that the National League actually allows men to play, because internationally club or field hockey in general is really, really popular among men. So they decided that men could be on the team, but there were rules involved. You were only allowed to have two men on the field at a time, because right. everybody just naturally recognized that biologically they have such a higher base athletic level than women. And that's pretty much across the board. We would have guys who came in, never played field hockey before in their life. Within 2 months, they were the best players on the team. They're faster, stronger, more agile. I mean, all of these basic things that go into sport, there's just such a chasm between a biological woman and a biological man. And it is so anti-truth for people to come out and say that Leah Thomas doesn't have an advantage when this guy is, what, like 6'2" in the pool with size 12 feet against a bunch of girls. It's crazy. And the worst part of the Leah Thomas story to me is not even the unfair competition. It's that he's been allowed in the locker room with these girls. Mm-hmm. And the girls who complain about it are told that they're the problem.
Yep.
If we're talking about that issue for young women, we have a very important instinct as women that protects us from predators and protects us from potentially unsafe situations.
Right.
And when we start telling young girls to ignore those alarm bells going off in their head when they're in a situation that could potentially be unsafe, we are setting them up for future failure, because they're going to be told not to worry about this man in their space. What happens when another man who is a predator invades?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a really dangerous thing to tell young women. And it's crazy to me that we went in a couple of years from the Me Too movement and talking about sexual harassment to
this guy can
walk around with his male genitalia out in the locker room, and we're all just supposed to accept that that's normal.
Right. It's so crazy that, like, you can watch this on ESPN and they're like, "Oh, Leah Thomas, I can't believe I've never seen any woman swim like this ever in my life." Like, what are we doing? It's ridiculous. It's like they're pretending like not to know what's going on, and they're mm-hmm. doing a good job at it. It's ridiculous.
But it seems like selective ignorance to me, for sure.
Right. Just like on KBJ, right? It's KBJ, right? She was acting like she didn't know. She couldn't provide a definition for a woman. And then once she got confirmed, everywhere I would see CNN, the first black woman. It's like, okay, are you guys acting like you know what a woman is, or you don't know what a woman, like, which one is like
yeah, they're not biologists. How can they say?
exactly. Like, what is going on?
No, absolutely. So, okay, so we would like to thank you for coming on our show. Please let our audience know where they can find you, and if there are any projects you're working on that you would like to promote.
Sure. So they can find me at Twitter at Amber_AC or at The Spectator, spectatorworld.com. You can actually subscribe with my promo code Amber. It'll probably convince them to keep me on staff and not fire me, which would be awesome.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm keeping busy. I am actually finishing up a book, ironically enough, about cancel culture and wokeness in corporate media. So never thought when I started writing that I would have a whole chapter about myself, but here we are.
Right.
And then I've also, I used to have this podcast called Unfit to Print, and I'm kind of toying with the idea of bringing that back too. So I'm keeping plenty busy. I'll be fine.
Yes. Perfect. Yes. Thank you very much. We appreciate you for coming on.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
All right.